back.
Yeah. Tell them who they are.
Elton Brand. He cleans the boards cause he's the man. Cadino Mobley cuts through the lane. Sam Cassell has a poster game.
Tell them who the fans.
Tony Jack got Malcolm in the middle. Tony Jack got Michael Clark Duncan. Tony Jack got Penny Marshall. Tony Jack got Dancing Daryl. Tony Jack got King of Mexico.
Go Mexico.
Got King of Mexico.
Go Mexico.
Got King of Mexico.
Go Mexico.
Got King of Mexico. You know,
all
I'm
right.
Tired of Kevin and being a psycho Mike not giving the Clippers their props.
All right, I can't hear any more of that.
Is Dave starting to soften on his enthusiasm for his beloved LA Clippers yet, now that they suck?
Yeah, he is.
A little bit?
And every day after the Lakers win, I print out a long story about the Lakers win and who scored and Gasol and how he's doing, and I make Dave bring it in and give it to me, and I just kind of rub it in.
Well, one of the high-profile Clippers fans that's mentioned in Dave's hit song there is, of course, Dancing Daryl. You know him as Clipper fan number one, and he is on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Daryl, and happy birthday to you, my friend.
Thank you very much. How y'all doing this morning?
We are good. Thank you.
We're doing great. Now, for folks who maybe haven't been to a Clipper game, which, let's face it, is 99.99999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999
season ticket holder for seven. This is my seventh season. I've been a fan. I've been a Clipper fan for over 15 years.
Wow.
Now, did you become a Clipper fan because of parents or friends or what?
Well, but I got fired from a job, and the guy told me I'll never be nothing in life without him. So, you know how you get fired from a job and you go home and you feel sorry for yourself, right?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. So I turned the TV on and a Clipper game came on.
Right.
And
they lost.
They said the same thing about them, how horrible the ownership was, how horrible the team is. Nobody wants to be there. And I said, this is going to be my team and we're going to rise together.
Okay. How's that rising going?
I'm just going wonderful for me. You know, I love my team.
But
you know,
let me just bring up Sterling for a second, because really one of the worst owners in the history of sports, and really does not deserve the kind of devotion that you've given to that team.
I mean, Sterling's a good guy. Like Game 7, you know, I was at the when the team was leaving for the airport, right? I was just at the airport wishing my team good luck. Mr. Sterling walks up himself and puts me on the plane with him. He said, "Daryl, are you going to the game tomorrow?" I said, "Yes." He said, "How would you like to ride on the team flight?"
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think what Kevin's point is he may be nice in moments to individual people like you, and that's a generous thing that he offered, but he doesn't do much for the Clipper Nation in general by some of the decisions that he makes for the team year in and year out.
But I think now since we got that playoff fever, he's doing a lot. You know, you see he signed Chris Kamen. You know he's going to keep Elton Brand. You know he's going to re-sign.
Wait a minute. Is there Clipper playoff fever? Is that happening now?
It's always.
Daryl!
Win or lose. We still
No. Wait a minute. You can't say there's Clipper playoff fever, win or lose.
Because mathematically, we're not out of the playoffs.
All right. Listen, the reason we wanted to talk to you, though, is because we heard that the Dallas Mavericks flew you to Dallas. Owner Mark Cuban wanted to hire you to be a Dallas Mavericks fan.
Yes.
And
what?
You said.
I said no.
No.
He said no.
He was going to pay you.
He was going to pay him to be a fan for a good team.
I support Daryl 1,000% on this. You are no kind of sports fan if you're just willing to throw off your team just because somebody else offers you cash.
I agree with that, except for he's a Clipper fan. See, if you start with a hardcore fan and their team has ups and downs, you know, fine, you stick with your team through the downs, and then you get back to the ups again. But if there's no ups, you don't stay there.
You don't think there's ever a chance that the Clippers could mount a winning campaign, Kevin?
I think if Donald Sterling sells the team, it would be the best thing that ever happened to the Clippers, and it could possibly turn the franchise around forever. As long as he owns, they blow.
No, I don't believe that.
Yes, Mike.
Well, Clipper Daryl, look at it this way. I do respect the fact that your faith in the Clippers and that you were willing to stick with your team, but being that Mark Cuban was willing to pay you money to come out and root for the Mavericks after all that you've done for the Clippers, doesn't it hurt you that the Clippers management wasn't willing to come back and at least give you some type of money or financial compensation for all that you do for the Clippers?
No, it didn't bother me one bit. I mean, my decision was based on. I'm on the phone right now. My decision was based on the love and the passion that I have for the Clipper, for the Clipper team, you know. So I didn't base it on, I didn't try to say, oh, Mark Cuban offered me this, now y'all got to match it with this if y'all want me to stay. I didn't do none of that.
Well, you should have.
I disagree. I think Daryl's a good man.
Look,
I think he's a good man.
Look, you couldn't pay me to be a fan of somebody besides the Lakers. I understand that. I mean, I get if you're a hardcore fan, but they're the Clippers, dude. I mean, come on. I mean, that's the one sports franchise, and I do go back to this a lot, but it is the one sports franchise that was on the front of Sports Illustrated. The guy had a bag over his head, and they said the worst sports franchise in the history of all sport.
Have you ever been to a Clipper game?
Yes.
Have you seen how that crowd is?
Yes, they're very, very quiet.
Come on now, come on.
They are, most of the time.
We are not quiet in that Clipper Nation rock.
I think the last time I went to a Clipper game was when Jimmy Kimmel was on our show, and he was a guest announcer.
Mm-hmm.
And he started. I think he started making fun of the Clipper coach or something, and they shut him up.
Didn't last long.
But that was the last time I went. I'm just saying. Look, I respect that you're loyal. That's cool. But do the Clippers deserve that?
There are a lot of franchises out there that are perennial losers that have hardcore fans. I mean, there are people who love the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, for instance, you know, who are never, ever, ever going to win a championship. But there are people who are out there for every single game. It's a small, loyal following, but that's what makes them happy. That's the team that they get to know the players, and they get to follow them and admire them. And you can't blame a guy for that. You can't blame a guy for what's in his heart.
All right, I just want to clarify then. Clipper Daryl, Dancing Daryl.
Exactly.
You got fired. You were told you would never make anything of yourself. So you went home and you were depressed and you turned on the TV and you saw a team that would never make anything of themselves. And you said, I'm in. That's my team.
That's my team. We're going to rise together. And now, you know, I'm rising together. I got to, you know, have my own business and, you know.
Oh, you're rising. Oh, I don't doubt you're rising. I'm just saying you should not rise quite so quickly because you're leaving the Clippers behind. That's what I'm saying.
No, my Clipper team will be there.
All right.
Daryl, I don't want you to – don't listen to Kevin and the naysayers, man. I don't want you to give up. Look, there are a lot of people who thought the New York Giants were a losing proposition.
No.
Who won the Super Bowl a couple of weeks
very
ago.
Very different. The Giants have highs and lows. The Clippers have lows.
Hang in there, Daryl. I think you're doing the right thing, my friend.
Oh, I definitely feel in my heart that I did, and you know, I'm just loyal to my team, you know. And it, but the funny thing was that when I explained the situation to Mark Cuban, he understood.
Well, of course,
you know, it was like, you know, he was like, man, I respect what your decision.
Of course,
is.
Because he counts on that kind of hardcore support. But you can't blame a guy for looking at the Clippers and go, that guy can't be a real fan. That's the Clippers. Let's fly him out and give him a try.
Hey, Daryl, before you go, you've been to 286 home games consecutively. Is that the current number?
No, actually, since last night, it's 287.
287, okay. What's the closest you ever came to missing a game?
Church.
Church, okay.
I came in the fourth quarter about 3 years ago, and it was like 6 minutes left.
Wow, so you barely made that one. All right, out of those 287 games, how many of those have been home playoff games? Two?
The ones that we made.
Two or three?
Oh, we had one, two, three, four. I think it was six.
I rest my case.
Oh, come on.
All right, Daryl. You're the best.
Happy birthday, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBede Show today.
Thanks a lot. Now, you take care.
Thank you, man. Bye.
Trouble in Britain. Lisa, I don't know if you heard the story, but Amy Winehouse turned 25, which I know is shocking when you look at her, that she's only 25. Yes. There was a big birthday party thrown in her honor at the very prominent London Jazz After Dark Club. It was just this past Saturday night. All of her friends were there. Her family was there. According to newspaper reports, Amy Winehouse did not attend because she felt too ugly.
She ugly. She ugly. U-G-L-Y. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
So we asked producer Alex to line up Miss Winehouse on the phone and find out if there's any truth to that rumor, if it's just tabloid journalism again. Amy, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear.
Oi, how you doing?
Well, we're fine. Happy belated birthday to you.
F off.
I'm just saying happy birthday. I'm just saying congratulations on making it to 25. A lot of people didn't think you would.
That's all right then. I thought you were taking out of me because I'm effing ugly.
Well, I mean, is this story true? They kept sending cabs to your apartment to get you to the party where everyone was waiting for you, and you refused to go because you were looking in the mirror and you realized how bad you looked?
Yeah, someone got me a mirror for my birthday.
Ooh,
oh, that's just
not
cruel.
Very nice.
And I had it covered with cocaine.
Sure.
And I never saw it, the bottom of it, but then, ow! Then I did all the cocaine, and I saw the mirror, and I looked in it, and I have some issues.
It's shocking how bad you look for a woman of 25 years old.
I need a moisturizer.
Yes, your skin is leather.
And I could use teeth.
Teeth, indeed, yes.
Teeth would come in handy.
You kind of look like Keith Richards after he's been beat up in an alley.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But I didn't mind missing the party because I'm not really one for parties anyway.
Really?
I don't really care for it. I like to stay at home and
have a nice
leisurely breakfast of Guinness.
Right. That sounds about right, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Then, you know, spend some time with my plants.
Right. Communing with nature, right?
Oh, and then just kick back and have a big tank of nitrous.
Yeah, okay.
Watch the telly.
Amy, when you were standing in front of the mirror, as one of your friends described, seeing how rough you look, did it start to occur to you that maybe all of these drugs and all of this drinking and all of this staying up all night and partying is starting to really take its toll on your health?
I think it's not really that so much as it is the environment. I think it's global warming.
Yeah.
Global warming is having an effect on my face.
I don't know that that's what's causing it. I think it's really more the stuff that you're doing to yourself, Amy. What the heck is that?
Wait a second.
That's a dog donkey.
Why do you have a donkey in your apartment?
I make butt hash out of its poop.
Oh no, that's too much.
But I don't think it's that. I think it's the environment. It's the pollution in London which is having a negative effect on my appearance.
Okay, but why doesn't everybody else? Okay, is that a frog?
I'm licking a toad. That's right.
Are there any drugs you don't do?
Yes. I no longer snort ground up elephant tusks.
Then why do you have the elephant?
Well, he's still here, but the tusks are gone.
You've already snorted them. Is that a monkey?
Dolphin.
No, I'm going to smoke a dolphin now.
That's a dolphin, sorry.
That monkey.
Dolphin.
Don't be an idiot. Who would do a monkey?
Hold on, that's a monkey.
All right, yeah, I would do a monkey, yeah.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ.
All right, we have an intern here named Moose. He retarded. Now, here's the thing about Moose. Great guy. Very nice. Good heart, seems kind.
Absolutely.
Does he go to Chapman High? Is that his problem?
I don't know.
Yep.
Yes, does he?
He does, okay. Right, Mike?
Clearly, he couldn't get into college, so he's going to Chapman High. So that tells you all you need to know about our friend Moose.
So they've been telling us out in the hall that you should hear him answer phones because he's not exactly speeding through it. And last week, we set a microphone in there, and we listened in on him as he was screening for a game. The game we were doing was a montage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's clips of five songs. You got to tell us what the artist in the song is.
And we should say this, by the way. God bless Dave, the King of Mexico, who's the best phone screener a radio station has ever had. Dave gets it. Dave understands that you have to talk to thousands of people every morning. You have to be very on top of what's going on. You need to figure out a way to speed things up, get everything on hold so that we can get to it on the air without being mean to the callers. I mean, right. It's a tough job, and it's a difficult balancing act. And not everybody is able to pick it up as well as Dave has and Miss Cleo has and others who are good at it. Moose, it may not be in his skill set to juggle that many things at one time.
All right, so what you're about to hear is the room out there all answering phones just madly, trying quickly to weed out the people who don't have any clue what's going on, which unfortunately is a great number of people.
Right.
Trying to find people who have guesses, put them on hold quickly so that we can take them on the air so things don't drag out too long. So you got Miss Cleo. She's our phone screener now. Mm-hmm. You got Alex, who's our producer now. You got Dave, who's the former screener, helping, as well as Moose.
Right.
All four answering phones. To try and just burn through them and find the people that we need to talk to. And Moose is not exactly working at the same speed, perhaps, as all of the other people.
K-Rock.
Okay,
yeah.
Hi,
did you hear the montage?
K-Rock, what's your answer?
How much is the fare?
Possibly, but do you have any guesses as to what the songs are right now?
Yeah, what is it?
Is that your
Okay, now, you can hear everybody else going, that those are your songs. Okay, hold on. You can hear him in the background. Moose still talking to the first person.
Unfortunately, we're looking for some...
It's just one time.
Give it a shot.
What's your name,
Here, Alex. Dude, they're not even playing the show. Pay attention. Bye.
I know.
There are people who are completely clueless and... It seems harsh, but you do need to discard them immediately so you can get to the people who are actually playing the game.
Right.
Is it possible that Moose used to work in phone sex and all he's thinking about is how long can I keep this person
Could
on the
be.
Phone to make the most money possible?
Could be, because he's been now just listening for quite some time.
Hi, K-Rock, what's your answer?
Did you hear it?
What's
your answer?
Okay, just make a decision. What? Let's see. What is that?
Alex and Miss Cleo are burning through while Moose is on the first call.
But now he's gotten all the information he needs, and he can't make up his mind whether to put him on hold or not. Either they have the answer or they don't.
Okay, what's your name?
So then he takes the name and puts him on hold.
Okay.
So that's how it's going for him. Now, again, I want you to listen to the speed with which the other three people are answering phones and Moose.
Moose. On the phone. Yeah. Yeah. Who's
phone
right now?
Killers. Shut up,
Moose. It's the Killers? Yeah. You know what?
Did you hear the montage?
Shadow play. Thanks, dude.
Did you hear it, though?
The answer?
Okay, listen. What did they say when you said, did they hear the montage? Yes or no? Really, that's it. Then you got to burn. You got to move on.
And you got to see if they have guesses that puts them in the running to be on the air, period. And then that's it. You're not dating the guy, Moose. Come on.
All
right,
thanks, Bob. Perfect.
Let me hear what you think.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. Hero. I can't tell you that.
Other people moving on.
Yeah.
Line 5.
Sounds good.
Okay. Line 5, that name is not Dave. It dropped.
What's your name?
People with the answer.
Marissa?
I gotta have one.
Right. Okay.
How many keystrokes is Marissa, by the way? That was like a paragraph.
Everything Moose says, this is one of the things I'm noticing because I've never heard him answer phones before. Everything he says is a question.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's your name?
Uh-huh.
Did you hear the montage? Okay. All right. Everything's a question.
Where are you from?
They're going to look at them really quick.
K-Rock.
And,
K-Rock.
So, what were the songs you heard?
So he asked her what the song was, then he asked her name, then he asked her city. Now he's going back to the songs because he forgot.
Yeah, because I remember. Hello? Hi, what's your answer to the montage?
Okay, and how about some of the others? Did you?
Okay, so it took that long for her to say one band.
Oh no, there are a lot of songs strung together.
Yeah. Wait a minute! Didn't he ask her that in the beginning?
Yes, he did.
Oh, God bless Moose.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You have an answer for me?
Okay, so we have a winner, and Moose is still on the phone with somebody, and Miss Cleo says to him, point blank, hang up, because we already have a winner. You don't need to talk to screen people.
Unfortunately, that's not right. Sorry.
He is operating at a different speed than everyone else.
You think?
Yeah. Cool. Who?
And then Miss Cleo feels bad that she yelled at him.
Oh,
Moose, sorry I yelled at you.
So, wait, what did you yell at me about?
Yes. Oh. She's sitting 1 foot from him. But you know what I like about him? Is that kind of hard work. A young man can work up an appetite.
Dude, Del Taco sounds awesome right now.
Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is out. It is available. It is in theaters. It's going to be the kind of movie I suspect that in a lot of theaters you're probably going to have to buy advance tickets if you hope to get in. I mean, it's just going to be a mega, mega hit this Memorial Day weekend. I can't tell you what a thrill it is to welcome the star himself, Mr. Indiana Jones. Ladies and gentlemen, Harrison Ford on the phone. Good morning, Mr. Ford.
Good morning. How's it doing?
Well, we're fine. You sound a little tired this morning. You okay?
Yeah, I'm great.
Big night last night with your movie finally arriving after all of these years, after 20 years of Indiana Jones fever. Now it's back.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like much fever, but
people are really excited about it. And so it's always great to do, to make a film that people want to see.
Certainly. Now, you are, 65 years old now, Mr. Ford?
That's what they tell me.
Okay, and you're still, a terrific actor, but was there ever any fear that maybe you were too old for this sort of an action hero? It's a very physical performance you have to give.
Yes.
Okay.
Were you worried about that?
No.
Because?
Because?
You're...
Harrison?
Good shape?
Harrison? Harrison!
Hello.
You fall asleep?
No.
You're okay?
Yeah.
All right.
What about all the interviews that you gave year after year after year in the 1990s where you said the character had nothing left to do, nowhere else to go, it was best to move on to other things, and let's keep him in the past?
Well, I did believe that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that although the character had nothing else to offer, Paramount had more money to offer.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. And so they dangled a big check in front of me.
I see.
Okay, and, so you did it for the payday.
And Calista said, do it or I will leave.
Ooh. Oh, really?
Yeah, because she's...
Can you speak up? We can't. We're having trouble with the connection.
What?
Harrison? Harrison.
She's what? I didn't make, Harrison? Didn't make that one out, Mr. Ford. I'm sorry.
Harrison? Are you there?
Yes. Right. Yes.
She's what?
I can't
hear you.
Again, we're having trouble. Try to speak up a little.
I am.
Okay.
You are.
Calista is?
Calista is that woman who has
a very expensive case, so therefore you needed to make a lot of money, so you signed on to do this role that you wouldn't have done ordinarily.
That's what I said.
Wow, okay. I didn't hear any of that.
All right, now I think... Now,
wait,
I think, now let me ask you...
in that show Brothers and Sisters, so she does make money.
There's no television show called Brothers and Sisters.
I've watched it. She's in it.
No, you haven't.
Harrison would know, by the way.
Yeah, he lives with the woman. Come on, Lisa, you can't argue with him.
I didn't know if she was doing a TV show.
Huh. All right, let me ask you one more thing, Mr. Ford. Again, Harrison Ford on the line. Indiana Jones just opened this morning at midnight. I hear that the movie company, the reason that they put Shia LaBeouf in the role is to get young people into the theater because a lot of people who go out and buy tickets on the weekend to see a movie don't have any idea who you are anymore. That's got to be a little disconcerting.
Well, they do know who I am. It's from other projects. But the fact is that Indiana Jones hasn't been in theaters for, 25 years.
Right. Yeah, of course. So, they would have no familiarity with this at all.
I thought it was important to get an actor.
I can't. Can you? We're having trouble hearing you. Would you mind just speaking right into the phone a little bit more directly?
I thought it was important.
Harrison is not a person with a lot of energy.
No, he's not. All right, we're gonna let you head on back to sleep there, sir.
I've been up for 2 hours.
2 hours? Wow, you must be exhausted.
Just got finished working out.
Okay, what do you do to work out?
I'm sorry?
I like to walk.
You like to walk?
Yeah.
That's your workout.
I like to...
Okay. Listen, we're having trouble with the phone line. I don't know what the problem is, but we gotta run.
Sometimes I'll walk around.
All right. Listen, we really have to go now, Mr. Ford, but congratulations on the film. It's
Harrison.
Great to have you. Well, we've lost it. He's asleep again.
Harrison! Harrison? He's tired. He's an old guy.
Yeah.
We're saying that he is not overly energetic. I think that's the point. If I could clarify.
Hello?
Chewy.
Yes, Chili.
Chewy.
Oh, Chewy. Okay. I can't hear him.
Pay attention.
I can't hear him.
I thought I said Chewy.
I don't know what you said.
I'm an ass.
That's embarrassing.
It's a world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show.
So if you go to the MySpace page of Ashley Alexandra Dupree, which apparently is the hooker in New York named Kristen, who was working for the Emperor VIP Club that brought down Governor Spitzer.
Wait a minute! She's using a false name?
I know. Weird, right? Here's what it says in her little place where you put your quote. What destroys me strengthens me. And I don't know if that's new this week or if that's what's always been up there. By the way, this hooker, this Kristen, by the way, is in Psycho Mike's Friends Network. Did you know that?
No!
Yeah.
She is?
Yeah,
from before this?
When you logged on to – it was on the cover of Drudge yesterday, her MySpace. And when you logged on to it, most people saw this profile set at private.
Right.
She was already in my network.
Are you client 10, client 8, client 7?
Good question. So it's been quite a week for Governor Spitzer, who woke up first thing Monday morning thinking it was just going to be another week on the job, you know, in Albany as the governor of New York. And now he, you know, heads into the weekend going, we got to move and we got to move fast, baby, because the new guy takes over Monday. So he stepped down yesterday, and it was really a fascinating story that we don't have much time to go into here about how he got tripped up. But basically, I guess his bank was alerted to the fact that there were all these high dollar cash payments going somewhere. And they were afraid there was some sort of fraud going on or some sort of money laundering or something like that. So the feds got a wiretap in order to kind of track that down and see what was going on with the money. And that's when they found out that it had to do with a prostitution ring and that he'd been paying this chick to have sex with him for years.
That's what he called the Emperor's Club VIP. And they said yes. And he said client 9. And they said the regular. And he said please. Or something like that. We actually got online and we found the federal wiretap. The tape has been made public.
Okay.
So we thought we would play it for you. This is the former governor now, Elliot Spitzer of New York City.
Hey, it's Lightning, and on the phone I've got Elliot. Elliot, how you doing?
Good, Lightning. How are you?
I'm good, good. I wanted to get back with you. I received an email about your auto insurance. You saved a bunch of money.
That's right, Lightning. I've been saving almost $4,300 a month.
Wow, that's pretty significant. What do you do for a living?
I'm a governor of one of the 50 states.
So tell me, what exactly happened? What got you to call AIS?
Well, Lightning, I date a lot, and sometimes my dating life brings me into some unsavory neighborhoods, so I thought it was important that my car be well insured.
Oh, smart. So how much money do you think you saved?
So far, I've saved
$80,000.
$80,000? Which works out to be about $4,300 a month.
A month?
A month.
A month.
A month.
A month?
A month.
So what are you going to do with all this money that you've saved?
I am going to high-end call girls.
Wow, that sounds like a plan. 1-800-777-4AIS.
Lightning, I'm so happy with AIS, I'd like to make you lieutenant governor.
Well, so there you go. You got to believe Elliot. He's telling the truth. And that's not radio bogusness. Wait, I think I just made up a word.
Wow.
Well, he deserves to go to jail then for that.
Seriously. Ralph, let's talk about The Dark Knight, starring Christian Bale and Heath Ledger.
Let's talk about that.
You got to see it already.
Yes, I was able to go Monday night to a special advanced press screening of the film. And the reason I wanted to bring it up is because I highly recommend, if you're going to see it this weekend, first of all, if you're going to see it this weekend, you've probably already purchased your tickets.
Right.
Because due to the fact we live in this day and age where you can reserve advance tickets and you can buy them in advance, apparently every show is sold out between now and like Tuesday or something.
Yeah.
Just nuts.
How weird is that?
But if you get a chance to see the film, try to see it in IMAX. Because they've shot several of the sequences in the film in IMAX with the IMAX cameras. And the rest of the film is blown up to IMAX size on the screen, and it is phenomenal. First of all, it's a great film. But second of all, it is really impressive on that big screen. That's the way you should see this film.
And who should you sit next to if you have the option?
Well, it's funny you bring that up. I went to the screening on Monday night, and we got there. My friend and I, Danny, we got there early so we could get good seats. And they put us up the very top in the last row, which is a great place to see
IMAX
because this screen is wall to ceiling and it's monstrous. So you want to be right about in the middle and as far back as you can get. And they said, Mr. Garman, you can have any of these seats except for these three. Do not sit in these three. These are roped off. These are reserved, special reserve seats. No one can sit in those. So naturally, you start thinking, why are those seats so special? And who are they bringing in?
Christian Bale.
Right. Who are they bringing
Heath
in?
Heath Ledger.
Yeah,
okay.
Gets the best seats in the house. Heath Ledger, maybe. Yeah. So I'm sitting there and the seats are right next to me. I took the seats to the right of those special seats, and I said, I can't wait to see who they bring in, because maybe it'll be Nolan, the director, wants to see it with a crowd, to get an early vibe or whatever. So we're sitting there, we're waiting, and just minutes before the movie started, I mean, literally, the lights were just about to go down, in comes the big special guest star that they saved those seats for. Larry King. Larry King and some old dude who looked about the same age as Larry. They both looked like they were about 11.
What are you going to do for 69?
And, not sure what that means, Larry.
And then this other guy who looked like a male nurse, like who I just thought maybe was there to wipe Larry's chin.
So make sure he didn't die?
Yeah, to wipe the drool off him or, you know, had a bag of Depends in case Larry needed to be changed in mid-film.
Sure.
So I just thought that was amazing.
And how does he rate seats like that, by the way? Because
well,
clearly,
come on. He's on a massive news show on CNN. Yeah. He gets a lot of attention, a lot of press. I'm sure they want him talking about the movie and talking it up.
Maybe he was going to have someone on, you know, this week talking
about
it.
Maybe he's interviewing Christian Bale. Yeah, or something. Or something. Anyway, he had the special seats. And boy, was he loud. I mean, just when he was talking before the lights went, he was like, talking to his friend, everything, just loud.
He doesn't have an inside voice.
He's deaf.
Yeah, that could be. Probably. Maybe he can't hear anymore.
And I'm not kidding. Seriously, when the movie started, the minute Heath Ledger came up on the screen, he said,
he's terrific.
Out loud.
They're silent. You see the Joker up on the screen. He's terrific. As if to validate the fact that, yes, all the buzz, you know, about Heath Ledger's performance is now been blessed by Larry King. That
do
he
you
gives
think
his approval.
Larry knows when he's doing that, or does it just come
I think
out?
Larry has completely gone bye-bye. He has no idea who's sitting around him, where he is, why he's there.
God.
I think it's just almost Tourette's-like reflex now. Just something pops into his head. And
oh,
he
God,
says
nothing.
It.
It's awesome.
So,
well, I guess Larry King was right. We can all just get along.
You're right. Confused. We try to please me.
Just in case, when Larry sat down, I have one of those tiny digital recorders that I carry around so I can make notes to myself. If I see something funny or whatever, I just kind of speak into this little recorder.
Note to self. He's terrific.
Exactly. Right. So when Larry sat down, I turned the thing on. And so I caught the he's terrific, but I let it run.
Oh, fantastic.
And, I mean, he just kept going and going and going and going. So I thought you guys would appreciate a little K-Rock microphones were there from the special screening of Dark Knight.
Look at you. What do you believe in? Huh? What do you believe in?
I believe whatever doesn't kill you simply makes you a stranger.
He's terrific. Why do they call these milk duds? They're great. You should call them milk hits. What's that guy supposed to be? A giant bat?
Hey, shut up!
Why is he dressed like that? Hey, that's Michael Caine. I know him. Hey, Mike! Michael! Why is he waving back? Rude British.
Shut up, old man!
Yeah, I don't think Larry gets it.
Not oh, my God. It's horrible to watch a movie with him.
What's he, a giant bat?
Yeah. Larry, you know, when Michael King came on the screen, he was trying to get his attention.
What about cleaning it up?
The Kevin and Bean Show.
Improving it morally.
Okay, bend over.
Maybe taking the wiggle out of it.
Kevin and Bean, weekday mornings on Kima.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy.
Hot Cheetos! I just love hot Cheetos! I love them so much! I love them so much!
Crazy, crazy, I get crazy, crazy. When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy.
Education, like such as South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as.
What?
There's a new way for your kids to get high.
Butt hash. Butt hash.
Want to sell some coke? Come on, don't be a pussy.
As you know, I do own my own jet. Gas prices are too motherfucking high.
You are a rude, promise.
Can you believe this? I'm actually flying commercial. This is really happening.
I'm going to put these panties in my mouth.
Chocolate green.
Butt hash.
Coke.
Tell me you're going to stop.
Yeah, hi there, all good, Dimitri. I'm very intelligent. I'm great in bed. I'm a great money. I'm a complete catch. Call me as soon as you have the courage to. Let the romance begin.
Let the romance begin.
Booby!
Butt hash.
Little pig.
This is MS. MS.
I took my grandma car because I got mad at my mom. I want to do it because it's fun. Funny do bad things. Funny do bad things.
These photos are mines, right?
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Let the romance begin.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy.
Butt hash.
I'm giving you an opportunity here.
I can't do it. We'll do it live.
Don't be a pussy.
We'll do it live.
That's what she said.
We'll do it live.
You are a thoughtless little pig.
I'll be fine.
Eric Weihenmayer.
Yeah, Eric.
Who climbed the highest mountain in the world, Mount Everest. But he's gay. Excuse me, he's blind.
What?
If y'all could please send me some oil for my jet, I would truly appreciate it.
Coke.
This is fun.
Little pig.
Bad things.
Panties.
Gas prices.
Just let romance.
I can't do it.
MS.
This is fun.
That's right.
This is really happening.
Yo, why do you call me like these homes?
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy.
I love myself.
That's right.
I know a guy who's never been to any concert ever. He's 40 years old, has never been to a live musical event in any sort.
40, and he's never been. We were talking.
Never been to an Invasion, never been to a Weenie Roast, never an Acoustic Christmas, never gone to see a band in a nightclub. Not, has never
really?
Seen
never
any
ever.
Live music performed anywhere.
Like,
ever.
Just by accident, you think you'd
yeah.
stumble into a restaurant where, you
well,
know.
Maybe there's a piano playing in the background or something, but he's never gone to a venue specifically to see music being performed.
Is he dead set against it?
No.
No.
Just has never crossed his radar.
Ah.
Never been put in a situation
my
where someone said, do you want to go see the Philharmonic and the Hollywood Bowl? Nothing like that.
My uncle never goes to see a movie.
Really?
Just hasn't seen a movie in maybe 30 years.
Does he like movies? Or?
Yeah, loves them.
So watches
them on TV,
them
DVD, that kind of stuff.
Rents DVDs, just does not
just
go to
go
movies.
To a movie
and
theater.
And I asked him one time, it's not necessarily just that he hates, you know, the going and the parking and the people so much. It's just he doesn't go.
Just not worth
he
his time.
He just doesn't go.
Not going to make the effort.
Yeah.
I've never been on a pair of skis, and a lot of people think that's weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
Not
at
a,
this point,
no water skis,
so.
No snow skis,
really?
Nothing. No
really?
Ski of any kind. I've never skied in any form.
Including snowboarding. You've never tried
never
it.
Sand skied.
Really?
If there is such a thing. Never
there
done that.
There actually is, yeah.
Are you dead set against that?
Nope.
Or?
Just never. Even when we did like our singles trip up at
yeah,
Big Bear, whatever
we did. Why
didn't
you try it then?
Just, there was booze.
Never.
There was booze.
Booze
and women.
As long as there's booze and women.
And I just couldn't get around to the whole skiing thing. It was low on my list of priorities. I guess that's something I said, oh, I'm dying to try it. I guess if I felt that way, I would do it. But I've never been in a situation where people say, hey, you want to go skiing?
You run into people all the time, and they'll tell you stuff like this. I've never done fill in the blank. And you go, can you be a human being and be on this earth and never have skied once or go to a movie or your friend, 40,
never
been to
a concert.
Do you think there are people who've grown up here that have never like put their feet in the ocean?
I bet
sure.
That's true.
You think?
I bet. That's
weird. How about grown up here never seen the ocean?
No, there's no way.
Weird.
Yeah, everybody else seems to be doing something and you don't for whatever reason. And not necessarily because you're so young you've never done it, you know, whatever. But if you're a decent age and you've never flown on an airplane, you've
right.
never, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Like stuff like that you just
stuff before. How can people avoid it? You know, you wonder.
Let's talk to Greg in Costa Mesa. Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Greg.
First of all, how old are you, Greg?
39 this month.
And you've never
been to Dodger Stadium.
You've never been to a Dodger game?
Never. And I've been in Orange County all my life.
You grew up in Orange County. You've never been to Dodger Stadium. Are you an
yes.
Angels fan?
Angel fan, big time.
So, but you've never gone to see the Angels play the Dodgers when they were there?
No, just at Anaheim, at
no,
Edison Field.
No
yeah.
concerts there? No anything?
Never.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That is weird.
Dodger hater.
I guess so.
So you're avoiding Dodger Stadium. I can
yeah.
see that. All right. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, guys.
Dude, you got to get yourself one of those Dodger dogs.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to tell him that. That's good stuff. Sabrina, 27 years old from Rosemead. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Sabrina.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Good.
Now, what have you never done?
I've never been to Venice Beach or Melrose.
Never been to
You've
Melrose?
Never been on Melrose Boulevard?
I've never been on Melrose.
Where do you live?
Rosemead.
I live near Rosemead.
It's not that far.
How long have you lived there?
I lived here all my life.
All your life?
What is wrong with you, Sabrina?
Never been to Venice,
no
never been on Melrose.
Never been to Venice, never been to Melrose.
Why?
Recently, I just... Like, maybe I think it was like 2 years ago, I barely went to, I only saw the outside of Grohmann's Chinese Theater.
You barely really? Went.
I barely saw all that.
You just ran past it real quick?
And even the star, the
she did a drive-by.
Same thing, too.
Sabrina, well, come enjoy your...
Yeah, why aren't you enjoying your life? Why don't you slow down and see a few things?
Come enjoy your city, girlfriend.
That's so weird.
There's a lot. We have a lot to offer you.
All right, thank you, Sabrina.
Thank you.
Bye now. Melrose. I want to Melrose every day. I love Melrose. All right, listen to some of these. Some of these are unbelievable. I knew we would get a great response from this because for some reason. Listen to Johnny, who's 23 from Santa Monica. Good morning, Johnny.
Hey, how are you?
Now, first of all, are you a religious guy?
I am. I'm very religious. That's not the main reason why I don't do it, though.
But that doesn't
count,
Ben.
Okay, but I want to hear his reason.
All right, go ahead. Tell people what you've never done.
I've never had a sip of alcohol my whole life, and I've never done a drug, any, ever.
You poor, poor bastard.
Sound like Bean.
You would think so, but the thing is, I go out to bars all the time. I dance. I get I'm stupid enough to where I don't need alcohol to do something ignorant.
I know,
like,
you're
I'm
high on life. I'm happy on life.
Blah, 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 blah.
The world clearly, and you don't need to have your adjustments.
But Johnny, well, listen. Johnny, listen. We can buy that if you say, I don't drink regularly. I just... But to say you've never touched alcohol to your mouth is a whole different level that's just kind of, it's a little more bizarre than that.
I'm not saying that I need to have my mind clear or anything like that. It's just not for me. Like, I never did it.
But how do you know?
How do you know? You never got loaded.
My parents told me, like, when I was real young, like, hey, we'd like you not to drink. And I was like, all right. When I got my wisdom teeth taken out, they give you drugs for it or whatever.
Right, sure. Right.
So I took it, and then I went to, I'm from Missouri, it's a place called Steak and Shake. It's kind of like a expensive In-N-Out.
Right.
And, I go to eat, and I ended up getting in my underwear by the end of the evening, and the cops had to come and take me out because I don't even really remember it.
All right, see, I want you to
good
drink.
Time.
I want you to drink, Johnny.
I remember getting real upset, like, this because this kid was eating in his pajamas. I'm like, you guys wouldn't let me come eat in my pajamas. And I got real mad. I was like, no, that's it. And I went down and got my underwear.
That's
and then
funny.
That was during the time when I actually wasn't wearing underwear, so I kind of was just naked, and then the cops had to show up. It was kind of embarrassing.
See, drinking's like that every weekend for me.
Yeah.
Come on, Johnny, get with it.
Drink.
Come on. All the kids are doing it. Don't you want to be cool? All right, Johnny, thank you for the call. We got to move along, but thank you very much. These calls are unbelievable. I didn't think that we would get some of these huge ones. Georgia is 51.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And you've never done what?
I've never used an ATM.
No way.
How?
You and Donald Trump.
How can you be 51 and have, A, be listening to the show, and B, never use an ATM?
Oh, that was cruel. That was very cruel.
Sorry.
But, well, I use my Bonds card, so I get $50 cash. I use check.
No, we understand all that, but what we're saying is there's a huge difference between seldom using an ATM and never using an ATM.
That's... I've never, ever used one. I don't even have an ATM card.
Are you afraid?
No, I've just never needed one.
Everyone needs one.
I have to tell this story every time this comes up. I had a rich friend who never used an ATM, and I had to use it one time, and he was watching over my shoulder. He said, how do you do it? I said, you do it like this. You punch in the code, you put in $20, and then it says insufficient funds, no money.
No money came out.
But he didn't use an ATM because he had so much money that I guess he always carried around cash with him or something like
George,
that.
George, are you rich?
Well, I have $100 in my wallet.
But are you rich?
Well, what's
are you? Do you have? Are you worth more than $1 million?
No.
Okay. Well, then you should be using an ATM. Get with it.
Okay.
Thank you,
go
Georgia.
Go get one right now.
51. Never used an ATM.
I mean, sometimes you just have to deposit a check or whatever. It's so much more convenient.
Well,
I don't
go into the bank.
We
didn't even ask her that. Do you go into the bank when you have to deposit?
She must.
So
she has to.
Oh, that would be a nightmare for me. Bank's right. Right there with the post office for me in lines.
Blaze, 25 in Chatsworth. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Blaze, I can guess this one has never had a man's name.
You've never done what, Blaze?
I have never sent or received an email.
Okay, do you have a computer?
I have a computer, and you know what? I had some friends that got so pissed, they set up like an email account for me. Never used it, never sent anything, never... I don't even know if I got anything.
Do you not want to, or you just have never kind of gotten around to it?
A mixture of both, I guess. I just don't really care. And two,
it's not going to take off. Don't worry about that, Blaze. It won't take off.
Yeah, the internet's a fad.
Yeah, you don't need to worry about that. You don't even need to do it. Don't worry about that.
One of these ones is conspiracy guys who thinks the government's tracking his email.
That could be.
And finally, Kaya, 21 from Manhattan Beach. Good morning.
Hi.
You've never done what?
I've never had sex. Kaya, meet Ralph.
You come
Ralph,
down here
Kaya.
This weekend, sweetie. We're going to fix you up.
This is the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
So you have a celebrity endorsement for the ShamWow, apparently, in the studio now, Kevin. Ladies and gentlemen, from the TV show Heroes, Monday nights at 9 on NBC, he, of course, is one of the Petrelli brothers. Milo Ventimiglia joins us in the studio.
How's it going? Woo!
Hey, Milo, good to see you, man.
This is very exciting for me. I grew up in Orange County. I've been listening to the show since I was 14, so this is kind of monumental for me.
That's very cool.
Well, we're very happy to have you. We couldn't have been more surprised when the first words out of your mouth when you walked in the studio were,
I got a ShamWow
in my car.
He says he has one in his car. I think he's lying. I'm calling his bluff.
Yeah, no, and Kevin and I have a bet right now.
$20 if you have one in your car right now.
$100 if I don't.
Correct.
Wow, nice.
Because there's no possible way that we somehow out of the blue start talking about the ShamWow and he's got one in his car now.
But at the same time, it was given to me. Yeah. See, it's a bit random and crazy story that I even have one. It was given to me by Adrian Pazdar, who plays my brother on the show. And he had the exact same reaction that Mike did. I'm not even joking.
It's just not
possible. Is it so awesome, everyone must own one.
Well, hey, Milo, I got something for you. And I'm like, what's that? He's like, I got you a ShamWow. Yeah, Natalie and I, we were watching on TV, bought a whole bunch of them. Here you go. And he gave me a ShamWow. And I'm like, man, what am I going to do with this?
Now, well, you haven't tried it then. You just said,
No. Okay, wait a minute. I was getting that. Yeah, I was getting that part.
Okay.
So he gives me the ShamWow. I'm like, great, thanks, man. I throw it in the back of my car. I'm driving one day. Something spills everywhere. I mean, my seat is soaked, and I'm like, what the? Oh, man. I pull over.
You did
I'm
not.
Like, I went to
None
my trunk.
None of this happened.
I got my ShamWow, and it soaked it up.
Oh, come
and
on. That's
like,
a beautiful,
wow.
heartfelt story. I got to get a ShamWow now.
And I called Adrian. I said, hey, man, thanks for the ShamWow.
Did you say, yo, Adrian, when you called
him? Yo, Adrian, thanks for the ShamWow. I appreciate it. I use it to mop up all the blood when I'm boxing.
All right, so Milo's going to run out and get his ShamWow and collect some money from Kevin in the break. But in the meantime, let's talk about the heroes. Your dad on the show, he's the only guy that can suck powers out. And I mean, there are other guys like Siler who can kind of clone the powers. The person still keeps the powers, but then he gets them. But your dad is the only guy who can take them away, right?
Correct.
Wow. That's it. How does it work? I mean, I know there's a, I know that, you know, your Tim, the guy who created the show, has got a master plan. He's got a vision. He probably knows far in advance where things are going. But you guys, as the actors, do you sometimes not know stuff like, oh, I don't know, Siler is Peter's brother? Do you sometimes not know that until you get the script for that week's show?
We're totally in the dark. We usually flip through it like, oh my gosh, okay, so he's my brother. Oh, right.
All right.
What if we're telling you he's not? What if Adrian and I just decide, no, there's no room. There, two Petrellis is enough.
We're close.
Exactly.
They're not letting us
open. Are they open to that? They just let you ad-lib like that?
No, they're up for it. They're definitely up for it. They're good guys. They're great writers. They understand they have a talented group of actors and a production team to put together, you know, a good show. Everybody wants to do their best work. Everybody wants to do something great. So if there's a suggestion, it doesn't matter where it comes from.
Is it a bizarre and difficult show as an actor to do some of the crazy stuff and kind of work to the special effects that you have to deal with sometimes?
Are you talking about actually, you know, pretending like I have 30,000 volts of electricity coming out of my hands?
Yes, as a perfect example.
I practice at home. I stand in front of the mirror, and I think to myself, what would it look like to have 30,000 volts of electricity coming out of my hands?
If you put a ShamWow on it, it would suck it right up like that. You would have no electricity.
Gone.
That's the best thing.
Shut up and look pretty.
Too vague a question for you to answer, but I always wonder what it's like for an actor who gets a big break on a popular television show like this. And let's face it, Heroes was not just popular. I mean, almost overnight, it became a pop culture sensation, cover of all the magazines. I mean, you guys got really famous really, really fast. Is that difficult? Is that a big pain in the ass? Does it make your head spin, or is it something that's pretty easy to deal with?
It's bizarre, because I forget when I'm out just, you know, grocery shopping or at the dry cleaners, that people know what my job is and they watch it and they
know a lot about it.
They know a lot about it. They want to follow my life because of it. I mean, I was fortunate for 12 years of my career. I was under the radar. Actually, 11 years.
Is that
was,
fortunate or unfortunate?
No, I think that's actually fortunate because I was working, had a very nice
and
income.
And you were on some well-known shows,
And I was on some well-known shows, but I wasn't bothered, followed, hounded, any of that kind of stuff that's associated with being on a...
How many times do you get the look of, I know you from somewhere, but I'm not exactly sure in my whole life of weirdness where you place? Does that happen?
Several times a day.
A lot?
But see, the best is like I get to play with that. People look at me and they go, oh my God, I know you, and I say, oh, did you go to the Starbucks over here on Venice?
Nice.
Or, oh, you're at the dry cleaners.
I served
where
you
did
a
you go to high school?
Yeah, high school is a good one to
go
to.
Or where did you go to college? Right. Well, college is a little wider in scope to where you can get away with, no, I was in theater and you were in poli sci, so it's not going to work out.
I work in the emergency room, and you came in the other night, and you were passed out. That was me.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you get, because of the nature of your show, and there are so many questions people have about the plot and the characters, do you get a lot of that from people on the street who are just begging you to tell me about what's going to happen and stuff?
A lot of that. We get a lot of that. But I'll get a lot of people that run up to me, oh my God, you're Peter Petrelli. Yes, I play Peter Petrelli. And then they're like, tell me what happens. No, wait. Don't tell me anything. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
And they'll wait and they'll pause and you're like, okay, can I go now? Thank you.
I'm glad that you're confused, but I must move on.
There's one thing I know. It's that many people love living in Southern California.
Yeah.
But if they had to pick the one thing they don't like about it, what do you guys think it would be? What would be number one on that list of complaints about living in the Southland?
Ryan Seacrest?
Okay, assuming he's number one, we'll have to take it for granted. Right. What's number two?
Well, I would have to say traffic.
Traffic.
Traffic is the answer.
Forever.
Yeah.
And that's why we have good news for you, because our mayor, Antonio Villaraigosa, has a plan.
And the plan, the most aggressive they say since the 1980s, ranges from what seems so possible, synchronizing lights, to other challenges, finding dollars to finish the red line and the goal line too. And facing serious debate, what could be a prototype for many places, turning Olympic and Pico, starting in West LA one way. What a difference, but at a price.
Now there are always going to be the naysayers. There'll be opposition, obviously, but you can't say that you want to reduce traffic and not join in the effort.
And while they won't be finding much debate, more left turn signals, about 100 to be exact, before June. And then there's the Tiger Team concept. It's growing. It's moving to Sunset Boulevard, towing those cars, blocking some far right lanes at rush hour.
Okay.
Mayor Villaraigosa on the case. We got him on the phone with us right now on the world famous K-Rock, by the way. Oh, wow. Look at that. Mr. Mayor, good morning. Mr. Mayor?
Hello?
Mayor Villaraigosa, Kevin and Bean here. Can you hear us, sir?
Yeah, barely. Yeah.
Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm at the 405 by the 105 interchange. Jerry, it's kind of crazy out here today. Jerry, get out of the way! Jerry!
What?
Can you turn down your radio or something? We can barely hear you, sir. What's going on?
Turn down the double dash bus. It's my theme song, okay? You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is the bus your theme song?
Because I'm driving the bus, bitch. What do you think?
You're driving the bus?
Here's the part of the conversation that we didn't tell yet, and that's that to promote public transportation, Villaraigosa says he will ride a bus, subway, or light rail line at least once a week.
Not only am I riding it, I'm driving it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not immune from getting my hands dirty from taking care of this problem. It's a big problem. You know what I'm saying?
So you're driving the bus.
I thought the only thing I could do is handle things Mexican style and fit as many people as I can into a vehicle way too small for it.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit down at the back of the bus, okay? Keep your hands and arms inside. All right.
Wow, that's freaky that the mayor himself is driving the bus. Now, how many people do you have on that ride right now, Mr. Mayor?
As of right now, let me see. I carry the 245. hold on.
Ladies and gentlemen, on your right-hand side, you will see Venice Beach. If you have your Dickies or your Levi's, prepare to jump in the ocean. It's a famous secret in Southern California. Thank you.
Wow.
He's also a tour bus.
You're a tour guide, too?
Yeah, like I said, I got to clean this place up. I mean, get as many people off the road as possible. You know. Yeah. Quiet down, lamb.
That sounds like a sheep.
Yeah, I said lamb, but either way.
why is there one on a bus?
Hold on. I see a fine hyena next to me. I'm going to hit my switches. I don't know where I'm coming from. Pancake, yeah, make it bounce.
You're making a bus bounce?
Yeah, I got a flat. It's a hydros. I got spokes. Wow. It's got a greater mural on the side. It's great. Okay, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you will see on your right-hand side, Universal City Nissan. No credit, no citizenship necessary to buy a new Maxima today.
Wow.
That was a public service right
Did you
there.
Just shoot a weapon?
That's right.
You shot a weapon?
That's right. Hold on. I'm working as an active police officer as well.
Pull over to the right-hand side of the road. You made an illegal right-hand turn.
You can't pull people.
No more turning for you.
You're actually killing motorists.
Ladies and gentlemen, keep your animals out of the aisle where I can't see them.
An elephant?
Yeah, I guess that's what that is.
What?
Hey, Omar, get the guy out of the elephant.
You didn't just shoot the elephant, did you?
No, I shot Omar.
Omar. Oh, okay.
Okay, okay, that's good.
That's excellent.
Right. Does it make me a bad person that I want to marry Kay Underwood, 20 years old, that has cataplexy?
What is cataplexy?
Almost any sort of strong emotion triggers a dramatic weakening of her muscles, and she faints.
Oh, my God.
Laughing?
Like?
Faints.
Like laughing?
Anger? Faint. Faints.
I think that sounds like fun on the first date. I think you'd tire of it quickly, though.
I don't think I would tire of it.
No, Kevin wouldn't.
Fear? Faint. Surprise? Faint. Awe? Faint. Embarrassment? Faint. Any emotion, faint.
How often do you experience no emotion? I mean, for what period of time? In any day?
They diagnosed this 5 years ago. Once she collapsed more than 40 times in one day.
Oh, my God.
I mean, think about this for a second, Kevin. You just pull up to your house, get out of the car, walk in the house. If your wife's not expecting you to come home at that moment,
yep,
and she's surprised to see you,
I know.
She's out like a light.
I would stalk her and sneak around. That would be awesome.
If she turns around in the kitchen and is a little bit frightened because she doesn't know you're standing there, boom, she faints,
literally faints for minutes. She can still hear what's going on, but she has no muscle control whatsoever. She looks you know, asleep,
like catatonic.
And she has
narcolepsy,
which is she also falls asleep sometimes.
Falls asleep all the time too.
When
she's not fainting from laughing or surprise or fear,
yes,
then she's fallen asleep. Boy, this she can't. You can't keep a job then, or something like that, right?
Wouldn't you have to be like wearing padded clothes all the time?
I would think you'd have to wear a helmet.
I think you would too.
I mean, really
too. What are you gonna do?
So,
oh my God.
You're not going to believe this, but we did ask producer Alex to line up Miss Underwood, who apparently is in Britain, where she is undergoing tests, and they are working very, very hard to try to figure out how to cure her so she no longer lives with this nightmare. And we have Kay Underwood on the line with us right now on the Kevin DeBee and Sean K-Rock. Good morning, Kay.
Kay!
Oh, hello. Hi. Good morning.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean from K-Rock. How are you today?
Hi. Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Kay, we thought you were British, no?
No, I'm an exchange student from Manhattan Beach.
Really? Because we didn't see that anywhere in the article.
Yeah, they forgot that.
How about that?
So, Kay, this article that we're referring to was in the Telegraph. They have this, right? You have something called cataplexy.
Yeah, if I have extreme emotion, I just faint. I collapse. So I try to stay really sad.
Come on. That wouldn't be fun. Like. Come on. Kay?
You guys.
What?
So. Oh, she laughed.
Stop making me laugh.
All right, we're going to try hard.
I try to stay really calm.
All right,
and
sorry.
Centered. I try to be really zen and mellow.
Okay.
Okay, so we have this right then. So if you're afraid, if you're angry, if you're surprised, if you're in awe, even if you're embarrassed, that somehow makes you collapse right there to the ground wherever you are, whatever you're doing.
Yeah, I'll just fall right down. So I try to feel it coming on and try to lean on someone or fall on something soft.
Do you have to wear a helmet?
No, I did when I was a kid. That's
too bad.
That is kind of sad. I don't want to.
Hey, wait a minute.
You.
Shouldn't you fall if it's sad? Come on.
Well, I'm not sad now.
Oh,
I'm
all right.
Sad then.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want to embarrass you, Kay, but you sound kind of hot.
Thank you. I am.
Can you.
Wait a second. I thought that wouldn't embarrass her and she would fall.
Nope. She knows
no,
she's
not,
hot.
I'm actually not embarrassed by that.
She's okay. Not as easy as you guys think.
No,
we haven't figured this out yet.
Can you go to movies and stuff? I mean, wouldn't you get. Hello?
Kay?
Am I boring her?
Kay? No, this is narcolepsy.
She has narcolepsy.
Oh, right.
Kay?
You dozed off, Kay. You okay?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Can you go to movies?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But scary movies?
No, I can't. I can't go see scary movies.
Action flicks?
No, those scare me. All the loud noises, and no, I don't like it.
Sad movies?
No, because then I cry.
Yeah, you
what
can't
kind
do
of
that.
Movies are you going to, sister?
Like documentaries about
documentaries.
Puppies and reindeer.
Are there a lot of documentaries about puppies?
Yep.
So,
whoa, wait a minute.
Oh, she laughed. That's so sad.
That's sad. This is the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm sure if you're like us, you've had the exact same thought every time you've seen Kevin Federline and Britney Spears on the news, which is, I don't know which one of them to feel more sorry for, because really they're both in such bad situations with who they have to be married to.
Oh, clearly her.
You feel worse for her than you do for him?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Clearly.
It's tough, I think.
Yeah.
But the happy kids have been together, what now? Seems like they've been together like a year or something, maybe not married quite that long, but we've been hearing they've had some trouble. and they're working on a plan to get their marriage back on track. We thought we'd get an update from the happy lovers right now. Good morning, guys.
Hey, y'all. Morning. Booyakah.
Brandy, how's little Sean Preston? What's he up to this morning?
Oh, he's so adorable. He just, like, burped and farted everywhere. He's just like his daddy.
Yeah. Burp and fart, booyakah.
Is it true that we read that that your husband tried to pierce your kid's ears? Is that the story true?
Yeah. He didn't even, like, ask me and some stuff. He's like, bud, taking the kid. I was like, what? What kid?
Next is the tattoo. I don't understand the problem. Like I've told you many times before, you're born a G. No. You know what I'm saying? You're born a G.
Kevin, I told you, you need to communicate more with Brittany about making choices about your children.
All right, Dr. Phil, my bad. Dr. Phil,
you have to share and work on together.
Wait a second here. Dr. Phil, are you on the phone with Brittany and Kevin?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're good. Well, that was the next story we were going to bring up, is we heard that Britney Spears and Kevin Federlisi were going to see you for help in their marriage.
I've moved in with them so I can work around the clock, 24 hours a day, to try to get their dog to hunt.
He felt like we were the type of couple that was labor intensive. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he moved in, and it's awesome.
I like it. Really? I like it. Dr. Feezy, Brittany, he's a doctor.
Sure. Brittany, how come you like having Dr. Phil around? It seemed like it would be a little crowded there with all of you living in the same place.
Dr. Phil is teaching us to love smart. You need to love smart
you
and stuff.
You need to love smart. Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Not loving dumbly, loving smartly.
Brittany, give us a little more info on that.
I got my work cut out for me here. Yeah.
Dr. Phil, how long have you been living with the happy couple?
We've been here about 2 weeks, round the clock, 24 hours a day treatment.
Wow.
And I think it's helping.
Really? You think their marriage can be saved?
Nope. What is your problem?
I don't know what you're talking about, man. I don't know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to live my life. You know what I'm saying? Coming up every day, keeping my head up like a thug.
Are Kevin and Brittany open to your suggestions, Dr. Phil?
They are open, and we talk about it, and then they forget everything I just said.
Right.
It's like talking, well, to Kevin, quite frankly.
Dr. Phil, what would you say, and I hate to simplify the relationship that they have, but what would you say is their biggest problem? Is it a lack of communication, lack of respect, lack of equality? What?
Well, I've tried to simplify and to narrow in on the main source of their problem.
And what's that?
I think if you work on the largest problem, the smaller ones tend to fix themselves.
Okay.
And I think the biggest difficulty they're running into in their relationship is they're both retards. And two retards together, you just get a big retarded relationship.
And Brittany, what do you get out of that?
I learned that it's not my first rodeo from Dr. Phil.
Uh-huh. Right, it's not your first rodeo.
It's not my first rodeo because it's my second marriage and second time's the charm, according to the Dalai Lama and Madonna and everybody that I'm reading in Kabbalah. And I'm trying to get deep, guys. I'm trying to get
really
serious.
Smart.
Smart, Kevin.
Love smart. What does that mean, Brittany? Explain love smart to us.
Love smartly is not dumbly. So it's like using your brain and stuff when you're talking and you're like, okay, I've got the baby. I'm going to get in the car. Does the baby get in shotgun? No. The baby has to be strapped down like that car.
Ooh. That's right. You got that right.
Put the child in the car seat.
Dr. Phil, you have to be happy hearing her talk like that. It sounds like you're getting through.
No, she won't remember in four minutes.
Okay.
Well, that's right. Next thing you know, the kid's on top of the car. She's driving away from Starbucks with her purse and the child on the roof.
Ooh, Starbucks. Yeah.
All right. Try to pay attention, Brittany. Listen, one more thing. Kevin Federline, as an artist, I know every time we talk to you, it seems like whatever's going on in your life finds its way into your work. Has that been the case with Dr. Phil in the house?
Oh, for Sheezy. You know what I'm saying? In fact, just a week ago, I convinced Dr. Feezy to go with me to the studio, the Disco D studio, you know what I'm saying? Because I was like, I felt like he's become such a big part of my life.
Right.
You know, and probably the biggest thing in my life is my art.
Of course, you know what I'm saying? You're an artist.
I wanted to include him in it.
Okay.
And we were riding the Escalade over to Disco D's, I found out we have a lot more in common than you would think. You know what I'm saying? We started talking about, like, how he came up, you know what I'm saying, as a doctor and in the show business.
Right.
And then how I came up.
You guys have nothing in common.
That's what you think.
Now, it turns out Kevin and I are a lot more alike than I would have suspected.
Is that right? Okay.
It is.
Now, did you watch him while he was in the studio making this song?
No, we did. I did a song with him.
He collaborated.
Collaborate!
Dr. Phil, you're on the song.
Hope Hose Al.
Fantastic. What's this called?
This is called Two Peas in a Pod.
I don't know, Kevin. I'm not much of a rapper.
Oh, come on, Dr. Phil. You know what I'm saying? Pimpin' comes from within.
Well, I do have a lot of heart. All right, I'll give it a try. Let's see how it sounds.
We're two peas in a pod. We live off women.
If money is the juice,
a female is the lemon.
Gotta squeeze to get what you need. Two coattailing douchebags fueled by greed.
Well, they call me Dr. Phil. I give bad advice. I got my head in Oprah's ass like a board in a vice.
And I'm K-Fed. Britney pays my bills. I moved from Fresno to the Hollywood Hills.
Coming out of Texas, like George W., my lack of compassion just might trouble you. Getting a divorce or your mother should die. I'll charge you lots of money, then tell you not to cry.
I'm a dope smoking wigger with a white trash flare. Pants around my ankles, braids in my hair.
What is your problem? That's my catchphrase.
I got the IQ of a monkey in a cage. I bang a fat hoe. Her name is Britney.
I brown nose a black bitch named Oprah Winfrey. Parasites of rich fat ladies.
Britney bought my Benz.
Oprah paid for my Mercedes.
Book of the month club, illegitimate kids. Whatever it takes to make it in showbiz. Like it or not, you gotta give us credit.
We keep our hoes in check.
Damn straight.
You said it.
I'm sorry.
We're two peas in a pod. We live off women. If money is the juice,
a female is the lemon.
Gotta squeeze to get what you need. Two coattailing douchebags fueled by greed.
See, Dr. Phil, I told you you could flow. Damn.
Well, hot damn. I'm pretty pleased with myself, and I think Oprah's gonna be glad I sound so Negro.
What do you have to say about that?
Booyakaw.
How about that?
Do we or do we not have another genius on our hands?
Wow. How about that?
Our CD drops next month. I hope you all pick it up for shizzle.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
For those of you who didn't see, Rob Durden is part of Rob Durden Big. And we'll talk more about that and more with Rob Durden. Again, Rob is getting 41. Rob Durden is in the studio. He is half of Robin Big. Wow!
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Rob Durden. Rob Durden stopped by.
Why would I say that?
Multiple times.
I was going to ask you.
I watch that show regularly.
I'd like to know do you know a Rob Durden?
I don't.
Is that where that was coming from?
Why would I say that?
Your childhood friend with a Rob Durden?
I have it written down right on my paperwork.
Rob Durden. Did you used to throw rocks at a guy named Rob Durden?
No, Rob Durden. Robbie Joyner.
Rob Durden.
Wow.
And you watch the show and you
I watch the show regularly.
And you know his name.
Yes.
Off the air, you've been fine.
Yep. Yeah. On the air, you, to his face, every time called him Rob Durden.
Why wouldn't someone say, hey, what's that about?
Because it's too funny. We said, let's see how long Kevin can go before he corrects himself. Well, answer was, never.
Now I'm a jackass.
Now.
I'm just saying, I liked him.
Wait, you want to listen one more time?
Yep.
No.
Rob Dyrdek was in the station.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
For those of you who didn't see, Rob Durden is part of Rob Durden Big. And we'll talk more about that and more with Rob Durden. Again, Rob is getting 41. Rob Durden is in the studio. He is half of Robin Big.
That was A Moment.
Why wouldn't he correct me?
Too nice.
Polite.
Too nice.
What the hell?
I have bought the website, though, What Would Rob Durden Do? I've got that up and running. So if you need to check that out for entertainment news, you can find that.
We can't stop you, by the way.
That's a surprise. Yes, well, somebody could point it out if I'm being such an idiot.
No, when you see those interviews of, like, old Nazi generals that they find somewhere in Argentina, they're like, why didn't you try and stop Hitler? You're like, you can't. You just couldn't.
It just wasn't that. You don't know. You weren't there. It was a different sort of atmosphere.
That's
we feared for our lives. We were just following orders. That's what we say.
That's embarrassing.
Right, I'm sure Rob Durden someplace is very happy that you mentioned him so much on the air.
Remember when I ran into, I can't remember which member it was of U2, I called him by the wrong name. That was good.
You sat next to him at the Grammys when you were a seat filler that year.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hey, Bono, how's it going?
I can't remember.
It was The Edge?
Something like that. John I was like, Perry? Oh, sorry. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Maybe,
I got a word scramble.
Was Rob Durden.
I've got a word scramble going on in my head.
Yeah. Maybe you should ask Corinne Raley Bay.
Come on, you guys. Don't let me be such a jackass if he's in the studio.
What are we going to say on the air live?
Yes!
Kevin, it's Dudek.
You've never corrected me before on the air.
I wasn't in the studio at the time to do that. I was in the other room howling with laughter.
They did put it up on the call screen. I think Lightning put up on the call screen with the pronunciation. It's Dyrdek is what it said up on the screen.
And I was annoyed by that because I know.
That's right.
I was. I actually thought, what is he doing?
And you ask why we don't correct you. Because you get annoyed at us.
I watch that show regularly. What a douche.
Because Kevin, God damn it.
The radio show in your head sounds a lot better than the one that comes out of your mouth.
I'm not a fan of me.
Yeah.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
For those of you who didn't see, Rob Durden is part of Robin Big. And we'll talk more about that and more with Rob Durden. Again, Rob is getting 41. Rob Durden is in the studio. He is half of Robin Big.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Hey, Rob.
Rob Durden's on Rob the phone Durden. Right now, Kevin.
Hey, Rob.
Rob Durden here.
Dude. Rob Durden here.
Why is it that you would not, I mean, after the, like, third time, why wouldn't you correct me?
You want to know what? It was kind of funny to me, but
everyone's laughing except for me.
Look, but Bean kept saying, kept pronouncing, like, enunciating it at you, and you weren't hearing it. So that's, I was like, it's almost kind of funny that you can't hear everybody else saying it. Trying to help him.
Every time I would say it wrong, Bean, they said, I don't even remember this, but immediately afterwards would say it right.
Yeah.
And, well, I didn't want our guests to be embarrassed.
And our producer put it up on your computer screen there for you to see, Kevin.
He did it. When I saw that up on the screen, I thought, well, I know that. Why is he putting that up there?
You got annoyed with him.
I was very annoyed. I had no idea. I was.
Yeah, you couldn't pretty much butcher it any worse.
Hey, you're lucky it was just.
Or dire deck.
Yeah.
But it's hard to miss that K. It's hard to turn that K into an N.
It is hard to do Durden, yeah.
Durden is fresh.
I don't know where that came from. I know your name.
You know what I'm saying? You want to know? You just know me as Rob.
I do. That's true. But, all right, Rob, I'm sorry.
Hey, how lucky are you, Kevin, that only Rob came in and not Bag? Anyone use the Gmail? I know it's very popular with a lot of people. A lot of people like the Google Mails. You use that at all, Kevin?
Sure.
Oh, that's fantastic. Then perhaps you are aware of the new test phase feature that they have in the beta mode on the Gmail right now that is called Mail Goggles.
Oh, I have seen about this. I have not used it, no.
Mail Goggles is a play on the phrase beer goggles, which means that basically you may not be operating at full mental capacity after you've had a few, like on Friday and Saturday nights, and you get home and then you start thinking about that girl that you have a crush on and maybe you should send her an email, and then the next day you wake up and go, oh my God, what did I do?
Right.
Well, what they've done with the Mail Goggles is they give you math problems. If this is activated, when you sign on to use your email, it gives you – here's an example of some of the math problems that it has. It's that time of day. Gmail aims to help you in many ways. Are you sure you want to send this email? Answer some simple math questions to verify. 723 minus 131 equals, for instance. You have to
no
figure
kidding.
That out before you can use your email program.
What if you can't do that when you're not drunk?
Well,
you're never emailing.
That's right. 45 divided by 5 is, 11 times 8 is, 10 times 10 is. And then it has a reflexes meter that shows you how fast you should be answering these questions and then how fast you are indeed. And if you fail, then you don't get to send email.
What?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
So you can you type the email and it just won't send it unless it gets the okay from the math problem?
That is absolutely what it does. And it's funny that Kevin is pretending that he doesn't know how it works because, Kevin, the K-Rock microphones have been there, and we know for a fact that you've already tried to use the Mail Goggles feature on Google and that it hasn't worked out that well for you late at night.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Answer questions before you can write. Okay. How much is 2 and 2? 22. Oh, come on! This is so obvious, easy! I have to write Bean. Oh, alright. How do you divide 20 apples among 10 people? You make applesauce. Everybody gets to eat them. Then. Come on, stupid computer questions. How many innocent people are in jail if one man is guilty? Now all of them are guilty. All of them should be put in the guilty jar and never with the come lid off. I need the right bean. How many Ducks fans are long time them? All them? Come on, Google! I have to write Bean and tell him I love him.
I like this feature. It prevents me from getting those emails.
I want a cats groups too. I want to play Tostic event. Huh? She literally discovered this band I'm about to play.
Right.
They're called the Airborne Tostic event. Oh. The album just came out.
I don't think that's
Airborne Tostic.
It's not Tostic
on K Rock.
Okay. Why can't you say that, Roddy?
It's the Kevin DeBean Show on K Rock 106.7 K Rock. Now let me try it. It's the Airborne Toxic event. Yeah. Joining us in studio here on the world famous K Rock. Actually, the whole band is here, plus a string section, but just in the studio right now is Mikkel and Steven. Good morning, you guys. Welcome.
That's right.
Good
morning. Good morning. It's so great to be here. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, really rad. We couldn't be bigger fans of your record. Kat turned us on to the EP months and months and months ago, and we've just been, like everybody else, waiting for the album to come out, and it's tremendous.
Oh, thank tremendous. You so much. Thank you. We've been feeding her 20s for, like, weeks.
Yeah, well, it's paid off. It's paid off. Oh, she's a whore that way, the cat.
Oh, wow.
She'll take money, yeah. A lot of people don't know that.
You guys are so interesting for a number of reasons. One of which is we talked to so many bands over the years here at K-Rock who really like No Doubt is a perfect example. Yeah, guys, we played every asshole gig you can imagine for 15 years before we get anyone to even listen to a demo. And then you guys come along, and I don't mean any offense by this, but it seems like it happened pretty quickly for y'all from the time you guys got together to the time, you know, where you're doing the stuff that you're doing now.
Yeah, it's been a pretty quick ride. We feel fairly fortunate about that.
Tell us, I know you've told this story 1,000 times, but tell the people who aren't familiar with your band kind of the background of how you came together and how you got out there. There are a lot of bands that are trying desperately to get noticed. And
oh, yeah. Like I difficult. Said, feed 20s to Kat.
Okay.
And God bless the internet, I guess, would be the internet, the right. The thing, right?
To have a good-looking Asian guitarist.
Oh, thank you.
Like, all like Southeast Asia, he gets half profits in the whole territory. We just
sweet.
Like,
all right, so good-looking Asian guitarist.
Yeah, okay. Take a note here in case you want to start a band.
That's number one.
All right. Now, MySpace kind of had to be where it all began for you, because that's where you first got heard, right?
Yeah, yeah. We had a page that we put up, and then some kids got a hold of it in England, actually, first, and they started sending it to their friends, and then we were like, whoa, this internet thing really works. Yeah, it's a series of tubes.
One of the things about MySpace is you can act like such a bigger band than you are early on, because you can just put yourself out there.
Did
and
we
like,
do that, though? We didn't. I used to respond to fans like, hey, it's just
oh, no. I mean, but you can look like, you know, just appearances.
Oh,
like,
they don't care. Yeah. Like, kids in, like, Budapest, they don't care if
they don't know
local,
the difference.
They don't
know.
They just hear your recordings and they think, you know, what have you.
Yeah.
So I'd written a bunch of music, and I'd gone through some dark times, and then I decided, like, to start a band, and all these jokers were just, like, friends.
Didn't you, like, move to Tibet or something? Or try to write a novel? Or what?
Really?
What happened
not
with
Tibet.
You?
I was living in the high desert on this ranch. I was a ranch hand. And I used to
on purpose.
Yeah, I got for room and board. I had to shovel horse manure for 3 hours a day, and then spent the rest.
Welcome
of time.
Welcome to my life, by the way.
That's a unique way to get started.
How'd you find your bandmates? Did you put an ad in the paper or something,
they're
or was it just people you'd run into at clubs?
Outside of my house, and I was like, hey, okay. Check it out. Weird.
Need a good-looking Asian guitarist. Yeah, put an ad. In
the... Weird. If you put LA that Weekly? On MySpace, how many people respond?
So we'll put you in the other room. See how it all sounds. I know you got. A lot of musicians in there. I'm curious to hear how this is going to come off on the radio.
Yeah, me too.
As are they. Look at their eyes. Boy, this is going to be weird.
I don't know if this is going to work. Enough. Thanks for having us. It's
thank
really
you so
awesome
much.
To be on
you know,
your
Kat
show.
Turned us on to you guys, and she's the best.
Yeah, she's,
oh, she's
great.
Amazing. Yeah.
How did she get a hold of your music quickly before we go?
Oh, I think she'd just been coming to shows. We'd been playing a lot of shows around L.A., and then I think we sent her. If you're in a band out there, send music to Kat. She'll totally listen to it.
Because she does
a
local music show, right?
Include a 20.
Yeah, well, and you could important. Probably really hit that if you tried, by the way. I'm just going to, there's a little hit there. I'm serious. Try to think about it.
Both of you.
We're going to play sometime around midnight, apparently in a cave.
By the way, I'm right behind their lead singer, so I might join them. I'm not sure yet. All right, let's count it down. 1, 2, 3. Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
And it starts sometime around midnight. At least that's when you lose yourself for a minute or two. As you stand under the bar lights and the band plays some song about forgetting yourself for a while, and the piano's this melancholy soundtrack to her smile. In that white dress she's wearing, you haven't seen her for a while. But you know that she's watching. She's laughing, she's turning, she's holding her tonic like a cross. The room's suddenly spinning as she walks up and asks how you are. So you can smell her perfume, you can see her lying naked in your arms. And so there's a change in your emotions when all these memories come rushing like funeral waves to your mind. Of the curl of your bodies like two perfect circles entwined. So you feel hopeless and homeless and lost in the haze of the wine. Then she leaves someone you don't know, but she made sure you saw her. She looks right at you and bolts. As she walks out the door, your blood boiling in your stomach in a roast. When your friends say, what is it? You look like you've seen a ghost. Drunk to notice that everyone is staring at you. And you just don't care what you look like. The world is falling around you. You just have to see her. 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 You know that she'll break you in two.
Guys, great to meet you. Great to have you play live. I hope we'll do it again soon, my friends.
Thank you.
It's the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Assistant producer Alex, the super whore, has joined us in the studio. Good morning, Alex.
Hi, good morning.
You have been the firewall of the Kevin and Bean Show for many years now. You are hard at work keeping, as hard as this is to believe from people who listen to the show, keeping things that are even worse from making it to the air.
Well, apparently my veto on your friend's voicemail was not strong enough.
Well, it's time for bad pitches.
Bad pitches for you.
Are you just trying to waste our time with your bad celebrity expert spokesman or public relations pitch?
Bad
pitches for you.
Silly waste of time, dumb pitch.
Damn it.
See? You know what's odd is that we get these emails all the time from different PR companies and stuff like that, and you read it and you go, really? I mean, I want to talk to these people and say, how many yes votes did you get on this anywhere in the world?
Look, it's not their fault. They have
horrible.
Crappy clients.
It's not. Horrible.
It's
not
like a record
fault.
Label trying to pump a crappy band. Oh. Yeah, you know.
You do feel bad for them, though, if that's their job, is if somebody's, and I don't know which pitches you have for us today, but somebody's written a book about, you know, healthy snacks to eat while you watch football or something. So they're trying to get interviews around the Super Bowl, and nobody wants to talk to that person. But you feel bad that that's their job.
I have something better than that, Bean. I have bird songs from around the world.
Bird songs?
Yep, featuring songs of 200 birds from the Cornell Lab.
Wait a minute.
Dude, it's a follow-up to last year's bestseller, Bird Songs, North American Birds in Song.
Is this a CD?
Yeah. Oprah Magazine says it's sweet music for serious birders.
Oh.
What? Dear God,
please
really?
Please die.
Certainly know their audience.
So we can have the guy on, and we can play little mm-hmm. snippets of birds, and he can tell us why they're cool?
Yeah, we can talk to Les Beletsky, a great gift for all occasions.
I'm going with no on that one.
A great gift. Now
for
I know what to
birders,
do for all
the birders, by the way.
Hey, guys, what are you going to do for Leap Day?
Leap Day. Okay.
Are you going to celebrate the year of the frog at your local zoo or aquarium?
You know it. With the Kevin and Bean party machine, year of the frog.
With the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, they're holding fun events and programs to educate people about amphibian conservation. You can investigate salamander habitats.
I believe we already heard.
All right, fine. How about the Gay Uncle's Guide to Parenting? Because,
wait a minute. That may be a good one.
Hold on a second. The Gay Uncle's
Let's
Guide.
Let's not buzz too quickly on this one. Tell us
parenting.
Look, apparently, you know, gay people have been telling hetero people how to dress, eat, and live with, like, Tim Gunn, the Fab Five. So why wouldn't they tell us straight people how to parent? Come on, breeders. Read about the sassy, funny, in-your-face guide. What?
The Gay Uncle's Guide to Parent. Can I buzz it now, Bean?
Well, no wait.
Yes, because- now you can. No, yes, we've heard it now.
Because we can hear why. We can finally admit that babies usually smell funny, accept it, and move on.
Come on with that.
That's a chapter.
Why would they? Who are these people?
Okay, this one actually comes from a listener.
Okay.
Nick Heinley? Henkel. I can't tell. It's weird. Okay. But he's got a new product called the Fish and Flush.
The
oh,
Fish
I like
and Flush.
The Fish and Flush.
What?
Damn it, Lisa. I knew
what
you
is
would.
It?
It's a whimsical pot.
First of all, don't use the word whimsical ever. Ever. That's never good.
Hang on. I'm sorry. I was looking at the picture while whimsical I was trying to read it.
Come on.
It's a whimsical Plush. Potty that turns your toilet into a nautical wonderland.
What? It's an aquarium instead of a tank.
It's Lisa. An aquarium. So you can pee and feed your fish.
Lisa, you realize you're acting excited
no,
about this.
I thought this would be funny to talk to this guy.
Because it's bad, you,
know
you mean.
Yeah. Lisa, I heard you have a new blog, and you can talk about musicals and the Fish and Flush on your blog.
I can't believe Bean wasn't
so,
all over this.
When you flush, you feed the fish?
Yeah,
is that where it goes?
It's a safe,
fish-friendly
aquarium for your bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the water. It's the tank behind the toilet,
yeah.
And it's completely separate, not at all related to...
But that's where the water comes from.
There are live animals behind you while
you pee. So you get one flush, and then they're gone.
I don't know.
You need to get another fish.
Maybe that's how it works.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Very timely, like, you know, Ralph's love of Eddie Money. Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Oh, what's he doing?
God.
Come on the show with his guitar and
Kill
talk
me.
About his new book, Puff the Magic Dragon.
No.
Kill
oh,
me.
Oh, wow.
So bad.
Kill me.
Send that one down to K-Earth or something, I think.
Now, this is my last one, and I have a feeling Mike might want to vote yes on this.
Then
so
I'm voting
scared.
No. I'm voting no, sight
but,
unseen.
But there's a new website called MyDamnChannel.com, and they have a new TV show called Cooking with Coolio.
I'm sorry. Did you say Cooking with Coolio?
Yeah. The Gangster's Paradise rapper has a new show, Cooking with Coolio. The ghetto witch doctor superstar chef is here to make you forget about every cooking show you've ever seen.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
This is a guy who used to have number one records, and now he's not only doing a cooking show, but it's not even on television. It's on the internet?
Yes, it's on the internet. You can watch it on the internet. Apparently the residuals from Gangster's Paradise are not enough, so he's got to cook shrimp online for you to watch.
Does that give you street cred? I'm not down with the rappers today. Is that what you need for street cred? Is your own cooking show?
I don't know, but no, it's cook in, apostrophe.
Cook in.
Cook in.
Oh, that makes all the difference.
Because he's,
guys,
you know,
Super you may have buzzed too quickly. I may want to vote yes on Talk of the Coolio. Come on.
Can't have a party without Coolio.
Yo, what's Coolio. Up? It's Coolio with the Flow, the neighborhood ghetto witch doctor superhero down to go toe to toe with any Hank Frank and Joe straight from the 4-0. T-H-E-V-Z, Foley Thieves in the house, Mass Circle for life, baby.
Okay,
ladies
thanks, and gentlemen, for, Coolio. Thanks for coming by.
Right, yeah.
To Lakerland. He had to come across the globe to become an NBA player.
Paul Gasol. The defensive assignment, but he can't stop the sledgehammer. Front down by Paul Gasol.
Feel pretty good. I rested a little bit last night, and I'm just happy to be here with the team.
You can just see the speed of the Lakers out on the open court. Ramanovich, and there is Gasol, their big man, running the floor.
Gasol with a no-look assist.
We have a wonderful team, and I'm thrilled to have this opportunity to join the team and then hopefully, you know, make the team better and have a great opportunity to make and accomplish something really special.
The Lakers are going to the Western Conference Finals, back where they belong.
Pal Gasol, I'm Kevin Abuchon.
Yes. Good morning, pal. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
How's Texas today, dude?
Texas today so far is good. Pretty hot and humid.
Pal, we were talking to your friend Lamar Odom last week, and we made the comment that since you joined the team midseason, and by the way, happiest day for Laker fans, they didn't even know at the time how significant that addition was going to be. But we were talking to Lamar about how it seemed like from game one, you meshed so well with the other guys that you had never played with before. Is that just a poor observation from a fan's perspective, or did it seem to you like it didn't take much time at all for you to be up and running at full speed with these dudes?
I was just excited, to have that opportunity and join this great team. And I couldn't believe it at first, but I was ready to take the challenge and enjoy it and give my best. So that's the way I approached it, and it worked out well.
How did it come down to you? You were playing in Memphis, and they just come and say, the Lakers want you, and you said, I'm gone.
Bye-bye.
Something like that?
Not quite. It was just the guy just told me, the general manager, Chris Wallace, told me, you just got traded to the Lakers. And I'm like, I thought it was, I don't know, I was just shocked. I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
So you hadn't heard any rumors? They hadn't talked to you about it? You didn't know it was in the works?
No. I didn't expect that. It was just caught me off guard. Totally.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty amazing.
Now, was there any part of you that was a little bummed because you had really put down some roots in Memphis after all those seasons, or was it you couldn't wait to cut Tennessee and leave it in your rearview mirror?
No, it was. I was disappointed first. I was disappointed because the first feeling it was, it was. You're just sad. You know, you're sad. I was there for 6.5 years. Things didn't go always the way I wanted to. I had high expectations, and both parts, I think we try to make it work as hard as we can. But the first feeling is, you know, they kind of gave up on me a little bit, you know, and that was tough for a few minutes or for a while. But then also the great opportunity part of the deal kicked in, and how excited I was, and obviously I was not having the greatest of the time in Memphis the last couple of seasons because we struggled so much, and
it's
so
tough.
I was just ready to take the challenge and give my best to my new team.
Did your brother Mark call and say, "Dude, thanks a lot. I was planning on hoping to play for the Lakers one day. Got drafted by them. They just traded me."
You know what? I was kind of expecting that, but at the same time, he surprised me. He surprised me, and he was like, I'm happy for you. You deserve it. You have a great chance now to be in a great team, and I'm just happy for you.
Is it? So, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Do you kind of have the the gut feeling that an NBA player, no matter how good, doesn't get a lot of trips to the finals, so you got to kind of make this count?
Absolutely. I do get that feeling. I think that you have to take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to you in life and make the best out of them, because you just never know when that's going to cross your path again. So we definitely have that mentality. We want to keep that mentality right now. Hopefully we'll be able to get as far as we can.
We are talking to Pau Gasol on the phone right now on the Kevin Abuchon Show on K-Rock, talking about the Lakers versus Spurs. Game 4 of their playoffs are going to be tonight on TNT at 6 o'clock. Did you know Kobe Bryant at all before you joined the team, pal?
Yeah, we met a few times. We met a few times. We talked a little bit, and a couple All Stars, and then also he actually ran into him in Barcelona this summer. I was working out at the gym that I usually work out, and he just showed up.
That's weird.
It was kind of random, yeah.
He just showed up to be a pretty small world.
Yeah.
He just showed up and said, "I got next."
Yeah, he was. We were talking about the fact of he was actually at the point thinking about trying to leave the Lakers.
Right.
And, yeah.
I was we were kind of talking to him and saying, well, I wish also I get lucky and I live Memphis, right? Because at the point I was also. I went through a very tough season, and there was a lot of rumors, and they booed me also, and they booed him at the beginning of the year at
right.
the Staples.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't pleasant at all. And
the Memphis fans booed you at the beginning of the season?
Not at the beginning of the season. At the end of the season last year, last season, the season prior to this one.
That's pretty tough.
Yeah, it was tough. It just came out. They leaked out the conversations that I had with the general manager and owners, and saying, wishing that I wasn't happy, and I was ready for a change. So it was rough.
Pal, let me ask you this. I don't know. I mean, let's face it, you play dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of games throughout the regular season. And, sometimes you have to just forget about them. But sometimes you have to take what happened on the court seriously and figure out what to do for the next game. How do you approach after looking at tape or whatever from game three and you see how you were and you see how Derek was and you see how Lamar was? Is that something you will radically change up, or will you just kind of put that one out of your mind as just being an off night and just go back to what you've been doing that's made you so successful all season long when you play tonight?
You try to look at it and take a look at yourself and just make sure that on game four you make the adjustments. You just don't make the same mistakes. And I think our biggest thing was being a little more aggressive and confident and determined when we had the ball and we had opportunity to finish at the basket. So that was that's the main thing. That's the main adjustment that I think we have to make. And just usually in playoffs, because of the level is pretty equal at this stage, right? The conference finals,
right.
The most aggressive team usually have the best chance. So to win, whether it's on the road or at home. So we try to be the aggressor tonight, and hopefully have a much better chance than we did on game three.
What was your first impression of playing for Phil Jackson?
Well, it was definitely a new experience. He's a great coach. And I was extremely thrilled to be in this position and be coached by Phil and the rest of the staff. So he's an interesting guy, interesting man, an interesting person to get to know and to be coached by. So definitely learning a lot from him and paying a lot of attention to what he says.
He's sure not as excited as I'd be if I had those seats every game, I'll tell you that. Pal, let me ask you one more question, because we know you have a very busy day. I don't think we've ever asked a Laker this in all the years we've been having the discussions about this particular topic on the Kevin and Bean Show. When you're driving around in Southern California and you go by on the freeway a car with Laker flags on it, how does it make you feel? What do you think when you see those Laker flags flapping in the wind on somebody's car?
It's nice. It's a great feeling. It's a great feeling because it shows that the dedication and the loyalty of the fans. So that's a really good thing. The fan base, the Lakers fan base, it's huge, and they're really devoted and loyal. So
it's interesting to hear you say that. We've talked to so many fans that are huge Laker fans, but begrudge other fans that way of showing their support for the team. They just hate the Laker flags, and I've never been able to figure out why. And I was wondering, a player sees it. It seems to me like that would be a reminder everywhere you go all day long that, hey, I got people who are pulling for me.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the way I look at it. That's the way, because I don't, I've never been a fan or a fanatic of anything or any sport in particular or any team.
Right.
I'm a fan. I want a certain team to win, but not to the point that I would just put flags in my car.
Right.
Okay.
But
as far as I'm concerned, that settles it, Kevin.
I appreciate the fact that a lot of people do, and they show their pride, their Laker pride, even when they drive around. So, and you got to drive in LA going anywhere.
Yeah.
I got to tell you one last thing for me, pal, and that is that my wife hates it when I don't shave for a while. I have kind of the scruffy beard.
Right.
She finds you amazingly attractive with your scruffy beard. And I go, wait a minute. When I have that beard, you don't like it. And she says, I don't know. He's just, I don't know.
I like it. I feel comfortable with it. And I'm glad that some other people do.
He's got the right job and the right accent. I think those two things overcome whatever's going on with the beard, Kevin. All right. Los Angeles Lakers versus San Antonio Spurs. Great to talk to you. Good luck to you and the team. And thank you for joining us on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate it. Thank you.